Now, Religion in the News, a report and comment on religious trends and events being covered by the media. This week's item is from Reuters.com, June 16, 2002, with the headline, Padre Pio Wrestled with Devil, Predicted Future. Dateline, Vatican City. Padre Pio, the 20th century Italian mystic monk and miracle worker who for 50 years is said to have had the stigmata, that is, the bleeding wounds of Christ, had for many people always been a saint. Pope John Paul formally declared his sainthood on Sunday at a solemn ceremony attended by hundreds of thousands in a sweltering St. Peter's Square and watched on screen by millions in Italy around the world. For many, this was simply the church rubber-stamping a status they had always believed in. Padre Pio's fame centers on the stigmata, which he had for 50 years from 1918 until his death in 1968, at the age of 81. Padre Pio had wounds in the hands, feet, and side that corresponded with the wounds Christ suffered in the crucifixion. He used brown fingerless gloves to absorb the blood and cover the wounds except when he said Mass. Doctors were at a loss to explain the wounds, which never produced gangrene or infection. When they examined him, they were able to feel their fingers pressing in from either side. When he held up the host at Mass, the faithful were able to see light coming through the wounds. According to conferees, Pio lost a cup of blood a day from the stigmata, ate one Spartan meal a day, and slept 3 hours each night. Yet, he was not anemic and did not lose weight. The stigmata started fading toward the end of his life and disappeared when he died. Padre Pio is said to have had a stern look in his eyes that could scare even the devil, and some say it sometimes did. Padre Pio had no sympathy for the devil, and the devil certainly had none for him. His biographers say he wrestled with the devil, literally, and one of the many books written about him is called The Devil in the Life of Padre Pio. According to monks who lived with him, the last big demonic tussle was in July 1964, when at 10 o'clock at night, the friars heard him calling out from his cell. They found him on the floor, his forehead slit open. He told a priest later, "The devil tried to scratch out my eyes." The next day, the devil is said to have spoken through a possessed person, saying, "I went to visit somebody. I took revenge." Many people said Padre Pio was able to predict events in their lives or knew what they were about to confess. He was also said to be seen in two places at the same time, a mystic ability the church calls bilocation. The Vatican investigated and rehabilitated him twice and cleared him of charges of sexual misconduct and fraud. In the 1930s, he was ordered not to say Mass in public or hear confessions. The ban was lifted after 3 years. A new investigation began in 1960, but he was cleared and rehabilitated in 1965. The bearded, brown-robed Padre Pio spent nearly all his life in a simple monastery in the hilltop town of San Giovanni Rotondo in Italy's rugged southern Puglia region. Today, it is the Lourdes of southern Italy, a pilgrim boomtown of some 27,000 residents, and 7.5 million visitors a year. Its economy revolves around souvenir shops, hotels, and the huge hospital which Padre Pio built. He is credited with performing two miracles after his death for people who prayed to him. Before his beatification, the penultimate step before sainthood, he was credited with the medically inexplicable healing of an Italian woman who had a lung disease. The second miracle was a curing of an 11-year-old Italian boy who had meningitis and whose mother prayed to Padre Pio while her son was in a coma.
Dave, we could spend a week on this guy, really fascinating individual, but the claim here is he wrestled with the devil. He did certain things throughout his life that are above what the normal person would certainly experience.
I would say he was a representative of the devil, in fact. When he first manifested the stigmata, or the reason why he did, he asked his superior of the monastery for permission to suffer for the sins of the world. He was granted permission, and that was when he began to manifest the stigmata. So he claimed that he was suffering for the sins of the world. And the monks in the monastery testified that they heard multitudes of voices at night talking with him in his cell. And he claimed that more spirits of the dead than living people came to visit him on their way from purgatory to heaven, thanking him for suffering for their sins, to pay the penalty for their sins, so they could be delivered from purgatory and taken to heaven.
Now, Dave, let me stop you right there. For some people who were hearing this, they say, well, okay. But this is a denial of the of the atonement of Christ. This is somebody interjecting himself in this process and becoming a savior, in effect.
Denial that Christ paid the penalty.
So that's why you say this man is a worker for Satan.
Yeah, and it's also a contradiction, Tom, as you would know as an ex-Catholic, for what the Catholic Church teaches. Catholic Church teaches that Christ's suffering on the cross was not sufficient to deliver us from temporal punishment. Therefore, you have to go to purgatory and suffer there in the flames for your own sin. Here we have Padre Pio suffering for people's sins, reducing their penalty, the time that they themselves have to suffer in purgatory. Now, wait a minute. But the suffering of Christ wouldn't do that. Why would the suffering of Padre Pio do it? The man was an agent of Satan, and yet he's one of the most highly honored now saints of the Catholic Church. Pope John Paul II paid a pilgrimage, as you recall. How some of the apologists for the Catholic Church, like Scott Hahn and
Carl Keating,
how they can overlook this. And, Tom, I remember being at Christian Booksellers Convention, and now they've got crucifixes. They've got, this was supposed to be Christian publishers. They've got Catholic publishers there now. And I remember seeing books about Padre Pio being sold at Christian Booksellers Convention. You would think it was so obvious, but somehow it doesn't seem to make an impression upon people.
And I think one of the insights from this article, well, it said, today, this town, this small town, just a bump on the road, is now almost as large as the Lourdes. Well, they call it the Lourdes of Southern Italy. 7.5 million visitors a year.
Yeah. Another problem, Tom, made a saint by the Pope. Come on. The New Testament is written to the saints at Ephesus, the saints at Colossae. We are all saints. If you're a Christian, you are a saint. That means you've been sanctified, set apart by God. You belong to Him. You belong to Christ. You've been purchased with the blood of Christ. And to say that you become a saint after they vote you in and the Pope makes you a saint, again, it is so contrary to the Bible, you would think it would just stand out and people would recognize this as a fraud. But they don't. Why not? Because they're ignorant of the Word of God, and that's why we're trying to get people to search the Scriptures daily and see what it teaches in contrast.